I interviewed on this tape a man by the name of Percy Foster in Corpus Christi, who has been living in the Kingsville, Corpus Christi, in South Texas area since 1912. Our interview covered the subjects of railroad and effects of the railroad, the cattle industry, the weather, and various and other sundry topics dealing with the immediate past history of South Texas, and especially of Kingsville.
I've seen it change from a semi-arid country, which was mainly desert, real desert, to an agricultural and ranching country that is productive almost beyond measure. In my early years here, let's just say, to show you what I'm talking about, the desert, the Missouri Pacific Railroad went from Kingsville to Brownsville, and the railroad officials had to keep crews with mules and Fresnos keeping the sand off the track between Rivera and Raymondville. Now, there's no such thing there nowadays. There's no walking sand dunes to cover the tracks at that particular area. That is ranch country now and is quite productive. If you don't believe it, just look at those big red animals all over the country out there filling themselves up on grass. Another thing I've seen is the rising coastline. The coast here has risen approximately 6 inches since I can remember. Saltwater estuaries went as far up from Baffin Bay as even with Kingsville. There were saltwater fish in the creeks up there. And now there's no water, let alone saltwater or fish.
How would you say the change in physical geography has affected the economy in other areas besides ranching?
Well, of course, other areas besides farming and ranching, there has been no change because there hasn't really been very much of anything else. Of course, oil field production came in here, but that didn't change, nor was it changed by the change in geography. There hasn't been any other industry except fishing. The fishing industry, of course, has declined over the years, but that's because of excessive fishing and ecological changes that were brought about mostly by the oil industry.
Another industry in South Texas which began some time ago was the tourist industry. How was that affected?
The tourist industry has been nothing but better and better since I can remember, and before that there were tourists. As I told Brother Henderson one time, during the Civil War, Port Aransas was here, Corpus Christi was here, and ever since there has been military installations, which of course causes people to move about and carry the word about the country of what is here and what is there. Everyone who likes to fish and hunt likes Corpus Christi and Kingsville, it's South Texas in general, because of the fishing and hunting that's always been so good. The tourists, of course, like the climate. It's a mild, easy living climate. You can live here for about half the price you can 1,000 miles north of here because of less clothing, less heating bills, and less lighting bills, and whatever.
During the late 19-teens and the early 1920s, during the prosperous years of the 20s, how was the cattle industry affected by this prosperity?
Well, in 1918, the cattle industry was at a, you might say, an all-time low because of drought. And during the early years of the 20s, the ranchers knew that they had to do something. So they started clearing their ranches of brush and planting it in Rhodes grass, grass brought in from Rhodesia. So that during the early 20s, it started raining down here too that time, and the ranching industry really did boom, you might say, during the early 20s. The price of meat went to about 75 cents a pound. And wages were about 75 cents an hour. So you see, ranching was at an all-time high along in those years. Anybody who had 1,000 acres of land was considered wealthy. After the bust in 1929, 1,000 acres of land didn't amount to very much because the price of meat dropped to about 10 cents.
Were they still using steam tractors, or what kind of locomotion were they using to plow the fields, to plant the grass?
In this part of the country, steam tractors were seldom used. That was more for wheat country, which is from northern Texas on up to Oklahoma and Missouri and Kansas and on up in there. People down here used mules and horses, of course. This big farm out south of Corpus Christi, Chapman Ranch, one of the biggest farms in this area, used hundreds and hundreds of mules and horses for motive power. Now, of course, that called for a good bit of the land to be planted in feed for those animals. I suppose that the offsetting price of the feed land amounted to about the same thing as buying and feeding tractors, but I do believe that the tractors eliminated one thing, and that was jobs. It eliminated having to pay for people to work on the land.
How many people were affected by the stock market loss in 1929?
How many people were affected by the stock market loss in 1929 depends on how many people were there. Whoever was there was affected, regardless of his age or his financial standing. Everybody was affected.
Who was affected the worst, would you say?
Rich people. It hurt them worse than it did poor people, because you can't hurt a poor man taking any money away from him. He doesn't have any to take away. Besides, living was so cheap during the Depression years that almost anybody could make a living if he wanted to. I worked many days at 50 cents a day, all day, that is, can to can. But 50 cents would buy some food in those days, whereas 50 cents now doesn't look like very much. We think of the price of meat nowadays as $2 a pound as being excessive. But wages now are around $5 an hour, whereas during the Depression, meat was 19 cents a pound. A good steak was 19 cents, 19, 20 cents, and wages. I started working in the railroad shop at 28 and a half cents, so just compare that. 28 and a half cents an hour against 20 cents a pound, as against $5 an hour and $2 a pound.
We've studied in class that the railroad between Robstown and Brownsville was being built during the early 1900s. How would you say that the railroad was affected by the Depression?
The St. Louis, Brownsville, and Mexico Railroad was not affected adversely by the Depression. I worked for that particular railroad for 10 years. There were 125 locomotives working out of Kingsville alone. There were four freight trains. Four freight trains an hour pulled out of Kingsville. Now you just can't pull that many trains loaded and unloaded out of one terminal on one strip of track and not make money. Those people were not suffering at all in the Depression times. The St. Louis, Brownsville and Mexico Railroad was never on the stock market. No STLB&M stocks were on the market. They were not available because it was making money.
Was Kingsville at one time a railroad town?
Kingsville was and is a railroad town. Now, Kingsville had a big office. It was a terminal for their trains. It had a big railroad shop big switch yards, big ice loading units at Kingsville. The ice loading units are not there anymore. The offices are not there. The railroad shop is not there, but it's still a railroad town.
Studying the person who made it possible for the railroad to be in South Texas is pretty interesting. Do you know anything about him?
Which one is that?
Forgotten what his name is now. He was a guy from here in Corpus Christi that also made it possible for the Tex-Mex Railroad to be built, as well as the railroad from San Antonio. He made it possible by getting people to contribute money. He was not very wealthy as himself. In fact, he had very little money. But he was more like a promoter.
There were several promoters who helped with the railroads in this part of the country, and they did get people to contribute land and money, but mostly land, toward building the railroads. Mrs. Henrietta M. King of the King Ranch donated a great deal of land in Kingsville and through Clayburgh County for the railroad to be built on. One of the things that kept the railroad shops and the railroad offices at Kingsville as long as it did stay there was the clause in her gift to the railroads that the shops must remain at Kingsville. As long as the shops remained there, the railroad would own the right of way. Immediately the shops and offices were moved away, the railroad would lose that right of way through Clayburgh County. Eventually, after her death, a long time after her death, evidently somebody decided that that clause could be voided.
Did you ever have any, or did your family ever have any dealings with the King Ranch and the Kings or Clayburghs?
Not directly. Of course, everybody in Clayburgh County was affected by the policies of the King Ranch, and they hired lots of people. They had other interests besides the ranch itself. The dairy products, Creamery in Kingsville, hired a good many people, and then, of course, since King Ranch had such a large dairy herd, to produce milk and cream for their creamery at Kingsville. They also furnished bulls of high value to farmers who belong to the Ranchers Association and the Dairy Association. It was nothing to see some farmer whose entire assets would amount to $500 with a $10,000 bull standing in his lot.
You said you moved to Kingsville in 1912. What was the physical condition of Kingsville at that time?
Kingsville was in good shape. But when I was very small, of course I can't remember it in 1912, I was too small, but a few years later I remember. Kingsville did not have any paved streets when I first remember it, as streets were paved during the 20s. But there were sewers, and the streets were laid out all square. There were no crooked streets wandering around through town. It was all very square, and there were parks. It was a nice town. There were good schools. There were several schools in Kingsville since I can remember, and more, of course, now. It was in very good shape, let's put it that way.
When did Kingsville start to change its city planning, having the streets, some of them, quite crooked and not near as many parks as there were? In fact, I don't see very many at all.
That wasn't the city planning that caused Kingsville to be cut up like it is now. That was planning by... Since you mentioned the crooked streets, let's put it by crooked promoters. Of course, when I say crooked promoters, I mean they had the idea of making money above everything else and not having any parks. Why put in a park when you can sell that land for profit? And during the time that it was surrounded by these crooked streets, crooked alleyways almost, all of the cities in this part of the country suffered the same problem. Corpus Christi suffered with it. Witness the many dead-end streets in Corpus Christi and the circle streets. You go in one way and you come back out the same way. The only way you can get to somebody's house is by going somewhere else to start.
Did your family have any dealings with the Mexican Don Pedrito?
No, didn't know him.
Oh, okay. About what time did y'all move to Corpus Christi?
If you mean my wife and I, we moved to Corpus Christi in 1946, after World War II.
How did the war affect life in South Texas and in Kingsville?
World War II, while it was on, of course, the railroads were booming. Ranching and farming were booming. Because of the necessity to produce and to move things during the war. After the war was over, things began to slack off, of course. And what with the advent of the superhighways and the trucks, the railroads have lost out to a great extent. Other forms of transportation being subsidized like they are, the railroads have lost considerable since they're not subsidized.
How was communication in Kingsville back during the late teens and early 20s and on through the 30s?
Well, communication was fine. The newspapers came in every day by train. And there was a daily, a weekly paper in Kingsville. It's still printed there, I believe. Corpus Christi Caller and the Corpus Christi Times both came in, since I can remember, daily. The Houston Chronicle, the San Antonio Express, Houston Post, San Antonio Life. Of course, the telegraph and telephones were open. Communication was with the rest of the United States was just as good 50 years ago, you might say, as it is right now. I remember the advent of the radio. People didn't have that kind of communication, but I'm not sure that it's such a boon to humanity.
What about the churches in Kingsville? How long ago have they been? Or I'm sure the Catholic Church has always been here in South Texas. But what about the other religious organizations? Do you know anything about that?
Yes, the Catholic Church had a brick building in Kingsville ever since I can remember. Mrs. King, I believe I mentioned before, having given a good deal of land to the railroads for their business uses, gave land to the schools and built, and she furnished the money for Henrietta M. King High School. I'm sure she also, I will not say this for certain, I'm sure she also furnished money for the Catholic Church at Kingsville, the building itself. The Christian Church was early at Kingsville. The Baptist Church and the Methodist both had large buildings early in Kingsville history. The Church of Christ did not have a large building in Kingsville early. My father was the one who established the congregation there, and I remember as having preaching services at the Woodman Hall, at the high school building, at the courthouse building, when the congregation was only four or five. He helped establish a congregation as bishop also.
After you lived in Kingsville, where did you move?
I moved to Brownsville. My wife and I moved to Brownsville in 1940. Wait a minute. Yes, it was 1940. I had been trying to get a job with Pan American Airways for 3 years. And in 1940, I went down to Pan American Airways to see if they would take me on, because I had a job offer in my pocket from South Carolina in the shipyards, and I would rather work for Pan American Airways than for the shipyard in South Carolina. So I went down there, and sure enough, when I walked into the superintendent's office, my application was on his desk. He was studying my application to see whether or not he wanted to hire me, and I got a job with Pan American Airways in Brownsville in 1940, worked for 3 years.
What advances did you see while you were working for the aircraft industry in South Texas?
I saw advances in aircraft, of course, and in the use of aircraft for transportation. I saw advances in shipping. The port at Brownsville was finished while we were there, and I saw the decline of railroad shipping.
What about racial relations in South Texas?
Racial relations in South Texas are not what a good many people seem to think they are. It seems that there is a clash between Mexican Americans and Anglo Americans. Really, it's not so where they live together and do business together as citizens. This clash that appears is brought on by agitators, some white, some Latin, But agitation makes things appear a great deal worse than what it really is.
I understood that Captain King brought a whole village of Mexicans from Mexico to the United States and settled them on his ranch to work his cattle and his ranch.
Of course, I can't say that he did or did not. I know this fact, that aliens have poured across the river illegally since I can remember, or before I can remember, and are doing so now, literally by the thousands. Some of them, of course, get to stay, because not all of them can be caught. And when I say literally by the thousands, I'm not exaggerating one bit. So that Captain King had every opportunity to hire all the cheap labor that he wanted. Since communications amongst law enforcement agencies was limited then to the telephone and telegraph or speed. There were no radios, no television, stuff of that kind to speed up information amongst the law enforcement agencies.
What about the weather in South Texas? What extremes have you seen, and about what times were they?
Well, of course, South Texas is considered a semi-arid country, and that means sometimes it rains and sometimes it's dry. And I've seen some long dry spells, and I've seen some long wet spells. As I believe I mentioned a little earlier, that in 1918 it was awfully dry. And I was only 4 years old, but I remember seeing dead cattle all over the country with bare pastures. In the 20s it began to rain, and it rained up until way up in the 30s. And as I grew older, I can remember seeing lakes down in the country down around Rivera. I wasn't old enough to realize what was wrong, but I thought people had made roads and put fences through those lakes, and wondered why anybody would do such a thing. As I grew older, of course, I realized that it had just rained a lot, and the lakes were natural catch basins. In the 30s, it began to taper off again, and it began to slack off, and it got dry, and got drier and drier, and all those lakes down in that part of the country, down around Revere, south of Kingsville, all went dry. Even the flowing wells down there began to fail. Wells that had flowed for any number of years. And that's the way it goes about every 20 years. The rain changes to dry, and dry changes to rain. But it takes about 20 years.
What about the winters?
Some winters are exceedingly cold, and most winters are not. Ordinarily, about two freezes for any one winter is all we can expect. About two good freezes. However, in 1925, I saw the limbs breaking off the trees all over this part of the country. Freezing rain fell for several days, and the trees were just broken down piteously. In 1918, January, the year my mother died, there was snow and ice all over the ground. It was in January, I remember, and it was exceedingly cold. People were dying from the influenza and pneumonia, as my mother did.
When you were growing up in Kingsville, what did the kids, what did y'all do for entertainment?
Well, there was any amount of entertainment for children or for kids. I played baseball and sandlot football. I went fishing and I went hunting in season. And then, of course, there was always girl watching.
That took place back then too, huh?
You'd be surprised.
Tell me, was the respect or was the avid fascination for school football and sports activities the same as it is today back then?
Baseball was the most favored game by the public in those days. Football was a favorite game, of course, with the parents of kids who were in school. There wasn't as much participation by fans at football games in those days because there were no stadiums built as they are now with seats on the side. You had to stand along the sidelines and watch football games when I went to school, so that participation by the public was not as great as it is now.
What about rodeos? Were there many rodeos held, and what was the response to rodeos?
Yes, there were rodeos every year. There were several held in Kingsville that I remember, and in Foul Furious and Alice, surrounding towns. People liked rodeos very much, just like now. There's always a good crowd at a rodeo, especially if they have a barbecue.
Okay. Did you have any contact or dealings with J.K. Northway?
No, I knew Dr. Northway, but I didn't have any dealings with him personally. He lived in town there. I know where his horse ranch is. I knew what he did. He was a veterinarian for the King Ranch. He was a chief veterinarian out there. His efforts at working with the Son of Gertrude stock, unless I'm mistaken, were outstanding.
About what year did the state finally start building highways in around Kingsville?
Oh, the state had state highways through Kingsville quite early in my memory. It must have been around 1920 when Highway 16, State Highway 16, was put through. It was called OST, Old Spanish Trail. It went from Rivera to San Antonio, that I know, and on north.
What was the rarest thing that you ever have seen in South Texas?
Powder snow, 1940. It's the only powder snow I've ever seen.
Well, snow in itself is pretty rare, but what is so rare about powder snow?
Powder snow is not wet. You can't ball it up. It's very much like flour, dry flour. You pick up a double handful of it and pat it together, and it just goes like a puffball. It is not wet and will not stick together.
Back during the 30s, during the Depression, what was the item hardest to get in the line of groceries?
In the 30s?
Yes.
There wasn't anything hard to get as far as we were concerned in the 30s. Meat was plentiful, vegetables were plentiful, fruit was plentiful, canned goods that you can't even find on the market nowadays were plentiful. As far as I know, there was nothing that was hard to get in the 30s. because everybody had something to sell, and he was eager to sell it.
How many trees were brought into the area, and what kinds?
Pecan trees were planted along in Kingsville early in the century, before my time, perhaps. Of course, palm trees were planted there all the time, different places. Hackberry trees were brought there and planted along the streets for shade, along the streets and the yards. The fruit trees, of course, orange trees and lemon trees, especially those large ponderosa lemons and Satsuma oranges. But there was something, one kind of tree that you hardly see nowadays, and that was pomegranates. Pomegranates were planted all over town. And I remember as a child, I knew exactly which pomegranate tree had the best fruit on it. In which season, because there are two kinds, the sweet and the sour pomegranates, and while they both finally turn sweet, the sour pomegranate turns sweet much later, and when it looks ripe, it's not necessarily so. It's a beautiful fruit, but until it is truly ripe, it's a sour lemon.
Why does a palm grow so well in this area?
Because of the climate and the soil, of course, but especially the climate. Palm trees will grow almost anywhere where the climate not necessarily good, but it must satisfy the palm tree.
About which time during your lifetime did the automobile or the Model T, the truck, have its full impact on the economy of South Texas?
It was after World War II, because the railroads hauled most of the tonnage before World War II. And when highways were finally built all over the country with really hard surface highways, and the size of the trucks increased to compete economically with railroads, that's when the truckers and trucks took over most of the business. That isn't really what caused them to take over the business, it was subsidization of the trucking lines by having these highways that they do not own to run on. It caused the increase in trucking.
What about law enforcement back during the 20s and 30s? Who did it? Were there any cases that you remember?
Oh yes, I remember several cases of law enforcement. Kingsville was especially free of notorious crooks, because every notorious crook that came through Kingsville was either caught or killed. There was no getting through without somebody knowing about it, and it was a kind of a dead-end situation. But of course, it was easy for the law enforcement agencies to get information over the wire, and wireless, of course. No radios in the early part of the century, but there was wireless and there was telegraphy.
Did the Texas Rangers operate in Kingsville and the Claiborne County area?
Well, the Texas Rangers never do operate in any particular area. If there's one riot, the Texas Rangers send one ranger, so that the operation by the Rangers is a kind of a cloudy sort of thing. It's the real authority the Rangers have is fear.
What about cattle rustling Did very much of that take place, or was there very much of that?
Of course, there was cattle rustling. I remember some cattle rustling questions that were brought up, but there's more cattle rustling now than there ever was before.
This is changing the subject quite a bit, but what about pets? Did people have many pets back then, dogs, cats, or whatever?
Oh yes, people had just as many dogs and cats around their homes then as now, possibly even more, and especially in the country, because cats, of course, kept down rats around the barns, and people used to have more feed for their livestock than is necessary now on the farm, since people do not use horses as draft animals anymore, and it seems that even the cattle raising is for milk products is not what it once was. However, there hasn't been any change in the way people think about animals as such. Dogs, cats, pet horses, or pet anything.
Back during the 1920s, was there much DDT being used? If there wasn't, what did they use to control insects and weeds?
I don't know exactly what the farmers used to control insects and weeds, but DDT didn't come into general usage until sometime around early 40s or late 30s. And mostly the farmers used to control boll weevils. The farmers plowed up the cotton stalks and burned them. And to control other things, there was, well, such as flies, the refuse and stuff was hauled off and buried. Then of course, there's been many years, 1950, if you can remember 1950 here, everything was covered with a sheet of ice. Everything, streets, yards, fields, trees, everything was covered in ice for several days. And it was comical to see the geese sliding out in the fields here on that ice. They slide around like skaters. So it can get cold. And in 1940 at Kingsville, one morning it went down to 10 degrees. And 10 degrees was cold even for Alaska. It snowed dry snow. The only dry snow I've ever seen in my life was at Kingsville in 1940.
When you were going to school in Kingsville, how was the quality of education over there?
The quality of the education was excellent. I remember in the third grade, I got English grammar, which was taught in the college at KI in the 30s. The high school, Kingsville, became accredited completely while I was in high school. That is, accredited with the Texas education system.
What about segregation in Kingsville?
Segregation was de facto, as it was everywhere else in the South. The colored children went to schools in colored town. They had a grammar school, high school. The Mexican Americans had a grammar school, and those who wanted to go to high school from there went to high school with the rest of us in Henrietta M. Kane High School. And those Mexican Americans who went to high school, I noticed, had advanced as far in their grammar school as we had. There was no difference. Their grades were as good, and their education seemed to be as good. Their English speech was almost as good as ours.
What about places to live in Kingsville? Hotels? What kind of hotels were available?
There weren't many hotels available in Kingsville other than the Casa Ricardo when I lived there. There were a good many boarding houses and rooming houses. I remember one owned by Mrs. Jones. She took in mostly railroad employees. The meals there were excellent, and of course the rooms were just like rooms anywhere else in boarding and rooming houses. There was no difference there.
What about the kind of housing available in Kingsville, and was it expensive?
No, Kingsville housing was not especially expensive. It was not really cheap either. It was about like housing in Houston or larger towns at the time. I remember my father bought a four-room house in 1922 for something like $3,000. It was a pretty nice place, bungalow type, and he was not able to pay for it because of the strike that occurred on the Missouri Pacific Railroad in 1922.
How strong were unions in South Texas?
Well, the unions were pretty strong at that time, but they were not as widespread. That is, they didn't cover as many areas of employment as they do now. There wasn't any Teamsters Union that I know anything about. However, the benchmark trades were all covered